I'm Alan Lytle, 91.3 WUKY News. As predicted on these very airwaves, election night in Kentucky was a good night if you happen to be a Republican running for the legislature, but a not-so-good one if you happen to be a Democrat. Well, for some analysis, we turn once again to Laura Cullen Glasscock, the editor and publisher of the Frankfort-based Kentucky Gazette. Hello again, Laura.
Hi, Alan.
Now, that is not an understatement here. I mean, there were many seats that were up for grabs, and Democrats grabbed very few of them.
That is very true. In fact, they didn't grab any new seats at all in the state legislature. The Democrats lost two seats in the state Senate. One was in eastern Kentucky, and the other was in Frankfort, the Frankfort area, Senate District 7. Which those both flipped from Democrat to Republican. And then in the state House, that's where the big numbers were. The Republicans picked up a total of 13 seats. They ousted six incumbent Democrats and picked up seven open seats to give them a 75-25 advantage heading into the 2021 General Assembly. So the Republican pickups in the state House leave only three Democratic House members in rural areas of the state. There are two representatives in eastern Kentucky and one Democrat in Bowling Green. Other than that, the rural part of the state has is represented by Republican House members.
And with the supermajority, that means they can pass whatever they want. It's important to point out that late last week, the Kentucky Supreme Court upheld the governor, Andy Beshear's, COVID-19 restrictions.
That's right. They did, Alan. But that doesn't mean that the Republicans aren't going to come back and try to impose their own restrictions on the governor. They've already talked about weakening the governor's emergency powers. And it wouldn't apply just to Andy Beshear, of course. It would apply to any governor who comes behind if those laws are passed. But that is on their agenda. Their legislative agenda also includes dealing with a one-year budget, because you'll recall last year, as COVID was hitting and the session was winding down, lawmakers passed a one-year budget to get us through this year. And so they'll have to pick that back up again in January as well.
All right. So when we consider the total shellacking that Democrats took on a statewide level as far as the General Assembly is concerned, what kind of repercussions could we be looking at in terms of leadership there?
Well, we can expect Democratic leadership to change.
And to your point, over the weekend, the Kentucky Democratic Party announced the selection of a new party chair. Coleman Eldridge was elected. He is the first African-American to hold that post for the Democratic Party, and he succeeds the outgoing chair, Ben Self, who announced back in September that he would be resigning from the position by the end of this year. We'll have more, of course, on him in a future segment.
People are not happy with Democratic messaging, and I think that's a big part of it. You know, Democrats have always supported public schools, for example, and opposed charter schools. And they support an increase in the minimum wage, livable working wages, union membership, and issues like that. But they're being portrayed by the Republicans as being anti-police. They support the mobs. They're being painted with this brush that is covering the national Democrats.
Yeah, if we're looking at the Democratic Party as a brand, it's not very good here in Kentucky to be a Democrat.
Right. It's not a good brand right now, because people don't know what the brand is. You hear, again, the national Democrats are painted as being socialist. They're being painted as someone who, as a group who want to defund the police. And Kentuckians don't go for that. We like law and order. We like the police. And so when that rolls down from the national level to the state level, voters are going to listen to that. And that makes sense to them. They're not going to vote for someone who wants to defund the police, even though that's such a vague term. But Democrats aren't stepping up saying, no, we like police. We're not going to defund them, and we're not going to get rid of the police. So that's one example. But the messaging, you know, far and wide doesn't resonate with that. I didn't really hear any Democrats through the campaign talk about charter schools, for example.
Yeah. Now, it's also important to point out that the governor of the state of Kentucky is a Democrat. His lieutenant governor is a Democrat. So there is a Democrat administration, but it's completely surrounded now by Republicans.
That's right. And it weakens the governor. I mean, the legislature last session was Republican majority in both chambers as well, but it does weaken the governor. Again, he can put forth ideas and plans, but the legislature doesn't have to pick that up. And they likely won't. They'll do their own thing. And again, they have a veto-proof majority. So whatever the governor likes or doesn't like doesn't have to matter to them. I think they want to see bipartisanship. And I've been told that Speaker Osborne wants to work with the governor. And Senator Stivers said on KET on election night that he hopes the governor works with the Republican legislature as well for the benefit of the state. So I think there is willingness for everybody to work together. But, you know, as far as specifics, it's absolutely Republicans control the agenda in Frankfort.
And a lot of time between now and January, so we'll all have to keep our eyes on the situation. That is all the time that we have for today on Capital Chat. Our guest has been the editor and publisher of the Frankfort-based Kentucky Gazette, Laura Cullen-Glasscock, and you can hear the director's cut of our interview at WUKY.org. Have a great week ahead, Laura.
Thank you, Alan. You too.